If you don't trust yourself and the decision you're about to make, or the decision you've made, whether it's about a person or whether it's about process or your business, if you don't trust yourself, you cannot trust other people. There's no way.
Hi, and welcome to the Leadership Now series with Nick Vujicic and Christine Grimm, Aria Consulting, 23 years of executive coaching, and I'm humbled that she is my coach. I could not lead without the sound coaching from Christine. I'm so glad, Chris, that we get to coach everyone watching. Tell us what we're going to be experiencing here on this series.
Yeah, we're going to coach you around leadership, around real challenges, how to navigate the challenges that you have right now, and how to feel good about it.
I'm so excited, Chris. You're going to be sharing with us also your pool of CEOs that can bring in and chime in some principles from their experience as well. Thank you for joining us here on the Leadership Now series. Here's today's episode. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Leadership Now series with Nick and Chris. Last episode, we had the honor of talking to Sean Lipman, where we were talking about resetting the goalposts, knowing that we all go through times of reset, but especially right now, it feels like we're all in the same boat. I am so excited, Chris, to have you here on a one-on-one once again, but talking about something that is probably one of the foundational pillars of my life, having no arms, no legs, but really it's the foundational pillar of any leader out there of any size company. Thank you, Chris, for doing this. Aria Consulting, founder, CEO, my own coach, my dear friend, Chris, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, let's talk about trust today. Let's talk about something juicy.
Love it, love it. I'm getting ready.
Why it's so hard, right? I think that right now in particular, we have leaders who are experiencing something different than we've ever had before. Some people having tough times, some people just going through change, but also having to shift to people not being in a building.
Right.
As I was telling you before, there's definitely some leaders whose trust is being tested with their team. They're not seeing people physically in an office. So they're rethinking, like, wait a minute, like, did that matter? Does it matter?
Exactly.
Is it going to matter? And so I thought, let's unpeel the trust thing and what happens at work.
Yeah, in the Rubik's Cube of trust, like, first of all, mm-hmm. you've got the plan. You had the trust in the plan, something that was working, and then that's a paradigm shift. And then you've got the employer don't see the employee don't see what's really going on in the heads of the CEO, and then everyone doesn't understand what's going on with government regulations. Mm-hmm. I was just on the phone with my accountant yesterday, and she's like, things are changing every single day.
Right.
Like, that's just crazy for any amount
it
of
is.
Business. And so where do you want to start with this? Because look, I have no arms, no legs, and we know where that, you know, begins with trust. But, you know, me having a caregiver and all of these things.
Yeah, can we just start there? Because remember, it was like mind-blowing for me. I don't know if you remember this, because I've been working with you now for 6 or 7 years. It was mind-blowing for me the first time I spent time with you in a restaurant, by the way. I don't know if you remember that.
I don't.
I met you in a restaurant the first time. Didn't know what to expect. And the whole caregiver thing, I was like, wait, stop. Like, you can't do anything by yourself. So it was like the ultimate trust. And so then as I came into your nonprofit, into your team environment, one of the things, I hope you remember this, was me giving you feedback then and going, wait, why is this different? Like, why is trusting the team at the office just different than the fact that you have to trust people to do everything for you all the time? Like, how does that work? So first of all, let's talk about this. Why do you trust your caregivers? Like, how do you do that?
Well, number one, you don't really have a choice, right? You have to trust somebody somewhere, but it's definitely been a sharpening of, first of all, a well depth of courage, and trusting yourself in, you never let your radar go down. Like you never, I've always got my antennas up. I'm always watching. I mean, the depth of, the well of the depth of trust, first of all, to bring them so close. I mean, out of all the employees that I'll ever hire,
yeah,
it's like going from I don't know anything about you to you're coming in the home.
Yes.
And so you're coming in my bedroom with a coffee.
I know.
And it's hard. I've never been asked that question. So it's hard for me to unpackage this, but
Sweet, how did you know there were caregivers? Like, did you have it forever? No.
No. So I started having caregivers around early 20s in my life. Uh-huh. And then that's when I moved from Australia to America. And it was meeting people. A lot of the gut feeling was something I had to have a hunch on. I had to have chemistry with them. They had to really think like me on many levels, but they also had to do things a certain way. So one of the big tests that I would do is I actually got them to drive me around. Like,
I'm
pretending that I'm doing something and I actually want to see if they can multitask. And so they don't know that I'm really interviewing them, but you know,
but they're like auditioning for the job.
They are.
We just gave away a secret.
Yes, but it's 3 or 4 months before I really know will they stick around. And the average long-term caregiver term is about 2 to 3 years. Hardly anybody stays longer than that.
And why is that?
I hire younger people, and younger people have a different rhythm of life, change in life. Generally speaking, 2 to 3 years is something set for a average mid 25 to 30 year old person where they then wait for a change. However, the caregivers that I have had with me right now, currently I am moving to Texas, 5 years he's been with me. Peter's been with me for 5 years and it sucks. And if I didn't move, no one would be changing anything. So it's hard, it's low. You're bringing him really in the inner circle and you have a special bond. He's like an uncle to my kid.
Yeah, right.
So, but anything from trust with my family to picking me up, it's not just a mode of operation. It's always seeing that they continue to be open to learning, but not relearning.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. It's a different relearning thing. Well, I don't have as much patience if I have to tell you the same thing 10 times.
Right.
I'm like, I don't know if you're ever going to get onto this. And in that rhythmic mode of me just going from day to day to day, like it's as much as you using your arms and legs. That's how much I'm using my caregivers.
No, I've watched. I've been around long enough that it's always amazing to me because it's so fluid. And, you know, for all the leaders who are watching and listening, anybody really, it is kind of amazing because I get the fact that you have to.
Yeah.
But that doesn't make it easier because you're still dealing with humans, like you said in the beginning, that you don't know. And it is such an intimate relationship that the fascinating part to me is, that's why I said to you, it made me wonder like, oh, so why doesn't that translate completely? And maybe that's just a switch we have to turn on in your brain and other leaders' brains, because to me, what you just said was brilliant and important. Like, you should be hiring like that for every, at least, leadership role that you have in your organizations, right? If you're going to hire a new CFO, why wouldn't they go through the same process with you as a caregiver if they're going to take care of your money? Now, I know you don't need that. You have somebody who've had for a really long time. But if you did...
For me, I mean, it's more than just a legacy. It's also if they fail the company in a department, they fail the team, they fail the supporters, they fail a whole legacy. Mm-hmm. If someone's annoying me because they don't brush my hair the right way, or they don't carry me in a way, or they just don't learn something and I just have to deal with the fact that I might have to say it and get ready for a 50% misinterpretation, that's taxing on a person. Did you see me take a breath? That's taxing on a personal level.
Yeah, right.
Where you're going 400 miles an hour, and this is like just a thorn in your side, and you're like, okay, well, let's just see how long this lasts, and then have a couple conversations compared to men. It's like I built that so all that it's almost like for a legacy, for a company, for an organization, a CEO never forgets as a founder what it took to get there.
It's completely true.
And everyone understands that if one department fails, the rest of it, and if that ship starts sinking, it's like, man, I put so much work in that. And it's the reality. You can build it up over decades, and in a year, it's nothing like it could have been or it was.
Mm-hmm.
So that I think it's the fear that comes in to tether in, to look, to keep people accountable and have your own trust. It's almost like you have to trust yourself with the decision process of who you put in there.
Yeah.
Then you have to trust, well, I need to be the right leader to delegate, trust, let them run.
Mm.
Then when do I change my trust, or how many questions can I ask or even challenge that person if they're changing something that's always worked?
Yeah, right.
To then saying, how long do you let them go to then let that new direction go where you're like, wait, time out. Why did we go that far? Wait, why did we change that?
Mm-hmm.
That to me is a challenge of trust that's very different than a caregiver.
Mm.
And something that I probably will never perfect as a Jedi.
Well, give yourself more credit than that because I've seen you learn. I know you're...
I'm learning.
You're learning.
I am.
Look, I think that... God, you just said so many good things that I think deserve time. And that is, first of all, like I had the question, can you really ever trust anyone 100%? Like there is a part of me going, whoa, that's worth some conversation. I've been doing this a long time, 23 years. And every leader I've ever coached has some trust issue with someone along the way. It's inevitable, right? We have fallible humans with us. We are ourselves fallible humans. The second thing you said that I think is super compelling and worth some conversation and maybe some reflection for your audience, and that is if you don't trust yourself, which right now we have a lot of leaders who are unsure about a lot of things. If you don't trust yourself and the decision you're about to make or the decision you've made, whether it's about a person or whether it's about process or your business, if you don't trust yourself, you cannot trust other people. There's no way. People can argue with me all day long. I promise, sitting in front of you and everyone else, that if a person is not feeling good about themselves or a decision, handing it off to someone else to execute is not going to be successful.
Right.
Rarely does that work. You know, so it's a, right now I think that is a big deal.
Huge.
Haunting a lot of leaders, whether they know it or not, right? It's underneath the obvious things. And, you know, I at one point in time when I was with you and your team, we, if you remember, we kind of dissected how people think about trust at the subconscious level, right? Like we are self-protective animals. And that means 24 hours a day, that primal brain, our reptilian brain is monitoring the environment for threats. That's who we are. And so in the workplace where we think we're sophisticated and evolved, but oftentimes we're not, right? Because what's happening is that's still monitoring for threats. So when we're getting to know people, like you said, or working with people, we're on alert for any indication that something might be wrong, like you were saying, right? That maybe I can't trust the person, or maybe that I can trust the person, but I can't trust the process, or I can't trust what's happening. And if you recall, I had talked about helping your team be super aware of what happens in our relationships all the time, which is that all of our interactions kind of go through a filtering process, whether you know it or not, right? Can I trust the person's character? You know, those are sometimes the most obvious things, specifically early in a relationship, right? Do I like the way they look? Do I feel the vibe that feels like we're aligned? Is there something about them that gives me the heebie-jeebies, or have they told us a story that now I go, wait a minute, what? You did what in your last job? Like, why did you think that was okay? You know, all of those kind of things around the surface, but also around character. And by the way, that's us judging that based on our values. Mm-hmm. So we're looking for that. And then if people can kind of get past that, there's the whole competence things, which, you know, a lot of people don't want to admit that, you know, all day, every day, we're judging whether other people, whether we think they can do the job they've said they're going to do. And some people can't, by the way. They make commitments that they can't fulfill. And so what happens in our little tally brain, where we're tallying things up, we go, oh, I can't trust that guy because every time he says he's going to do something, he doesn't do it. Or this person doesn't return my email. Or, you know, this guy's always late for meetings and he never read the deck that I sent in advance. I hear these things all day, by the way. And then, of course, we have like the third filtering process, which I think some relationships never get there, or it's where the damage lives, which is if I don't trust their character or I don't trust their competence, then I'm never going to trust their opinion. If you follow the old model of character competence, the C there is critique. But really what it is think about it. Like, if I don't trust their character and I don't trust their competence, I don't care what they say.
Yeah,
you don't care what they say.
100%.
Right?
Yep.
So that's going on all the time. So I think outside of the most obvious ways of trust, we have to acknowledge that underneath it is, like I said, that filtering system that's driving our thoughts about someone.
100%. The instincts, first of all, like that to me is the first thing. Like it's mm-hmm. one thing to interview someone first on the phone compared to face to face. It's just, I read the body language. I'm looking, like there's processes and asking specific questions on the interview. But once you step into that relationship, it's now all of this, reading between the lines. I've forgotten quicker the good decisions I've made than the bad decisions I've made. And that either means shouldn't have hired someone or should have let him go a long time ago. And ignoring that with that filter.
So many
as
leaders
well,
have that, by the way.
Right? And then
too slow to fire.
But but when you have these processes in, where you have the character and you have the competence and then you have the critique. It's almost like a no-brainer. It's almost like that you've detached the emotions apart from this. And that's why it's also different than a caregiver for me, but at the same time, no. I actually, one of the biggest fears that I have is a fear of disappointment. And when you're a CEO and visionary, where you feel responsible for everyone and everything, right, on that level, it's exasperated, it's magnified, it's super sensitive. And I've learned how, though, those processes as a leader, if you don't do that, then either you're not going to trust everyone to a point, then you might as well do it yourself. And here's the problem. You can't do anything meaningful or significant on your own. So then we have to trust a process and people and learn how to trust yourself. Sharpening those regular pulses, if you will. I've learned that, and I need to continue to learn that. But when you have a plan and you know what definition of success is for each of your team and the process of it, let me ask you, someone who had some of that and now the canvas is totally clean and everyone's like, well, we don't know what's going on. Like, and everyone's almost like equal say, you know, that there are some on a leadership level, Chris, there are some decisions that the CEO and one other person talks and whatever they decide, that's
everybody
the way.
Yeah.
How is this different with the COVID situation where no one's even in an office right now?
Yeah.
How does anyone deal with that?
Yeah. Look, I think that not just now, I actually hope people learn new things now. It is more chaotic. It's also convoluted because of all the messaging that's out there. And at least at this moment in time, I believe everyone is unsure about something. even if they think they're sure about some things, they're not sure. Like, they might not be sure, are we opening again? Am I going to be able to fly again? There's just so many questions. So I think the answer is, you know, first and foremost, leaders, at least that I'm working with, one of the things I'm saying is, like, let's get clear first around what it is you think you're doing. So if we have to throw away the old plan, like you and I and Sean talked about in the last episode, throw away the plan and move those goalposts, or if we're just pivoting or we're trying to actually come back into a plan because we believe our plan is still the right thing, it's super important to get clear about that, to speak to your people clearly about what is changing, what is not changing, and how do you expect them to move forward. So whether that's 30 days or 30 years, you know, the more clear we are in our expectations to people, the more we can most likely believe that they're going to execute in a way that meets our expectations. I believe right now what's happening is if leaders are, again, unsure, and if we peel back, like, what does it mean to not trust myself? Well, it might mean that you don't know what to do. And so if I don't know what to do, but I'm telling people to do stuff just so they have something to do, that's not a great strategy. Yeah. Because that's setting them up for failure. And it's also almost 100% of the time setting people up where you're kind of sabotaging them in a way, not just maybe a business failure. Maybe the activity that they're doing turns out fine. But if you're not clear about what you're striving for and the new target, if you will, then people can't usually read our minds. And to your point, I think for all the people who are working remotely right now, there were people who knew how to work with their boss and work with the team because of body language, because of their experience with each other in a co-located situation. Now, I realize there's a lot of organizations that have been working remote for a while, but I'm really talking about the people who working from home or working remotely is super new, right? And they're still getting used to it. They thought it was temporary. And now they're facing the fact that it's not as temporary as we thought. And we're missing water cooler, the things we took for granted that actually kept bosses connected to their people, and the impromptu things that were happening that kept our relationships together. And even the social, frankly, you know, going out to lunch, I'm not talking about just social at night. I'm literally talking about just the connections that happen to people outside of meetings or outside of formal structure. You know, that helped with the trust thing, by the way.
I was just going to say, though, that's huge. I never thought of it that way.
It's a big deal. It's a really big deal. I was having a coaching session with someone who is very introverted and really great at his job, an executive in a large organization. And we were talking about that his inclination now working from home is not to have extra phone calls and Zooms and other experiences to connect with people just to connect with people. And so he knows something's different. But he's not extroverted. So, you know, we've had to talk about this. I'm like, yeah, you didn't realize it. I think a lot of us didn't realize what was really happening when people work together. And that, you know, sometimes people did learn to kind of read their boss's mind, by the way, just by their body language and the tone of their voice and what was happening for the day. Right. And you take all that away and it leaves a void that's now manifesting into other things. Some of them not that great. Yeah.
It's rough. It's really rough.
It's the new.
it's very, very different. And the question is, like, how long is this going to be? But that's not what we should be focusing in on.
That's right.
It's doing everything that you can based on what you do know. And giving yourself a little bit of grace in knowing that, like, I feel bad for all the people who used to feel like we know exactly what's going to happen. You know, the type A, you know, OCD. Detail.
You and you and a bunch of yous.
Right? Right? I know someone. And then it's just unraveled. It's like, where do you even, like, you're scratching for things. I think that many people need to be comforted that there's a lot of unknowns and everyone's there. But how long does someone really feel like, hey, I need to talk to someone? Who do they talk to? If they say, "Yep, I don't trust myself," What does someone do practically to say, okay, time out, I need to gain back my trust? Like, even those little steps. Do you know of any practical steps that have worked in you and your coaching for someone to say, okay, time out, I'm like sliding away. Yeah. When someone slides away, it's very dangerous.
Yeah.
Very dangerous. I mean, it's very stressful. I'm stressed at home. And I love being at home. But here I am trying to do a Zoom call and my kids are driving me up the wall. I just found out there's, I love my kids so much, but sometimes they come in my room in the wrong time. You know, I'm on a call. I'm like, I can't do anything. I mean, I heard of, I don't remember who told me, but there is this banker in New York. He sold his apartment, and bought a new 5,000 square foot home, and New York stopped moving. Like, you're not allowed, he's in temporary housing. Wow. He's doing all of his Zoom calls in a two-bedroom apartment from the restroom with three kids under the age of eight. A banker, it's like, oh my God.
Yeah, this is very real.
It's like, that is a story.
It's real.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's a part of this. You said something that is, I don't want to pass by. You know, this, there are a lot of leaders who are having a crisis of confidence at the moment.
That's a good way to put it.
And
I know I'm having that a little bit. Sure.
I think you're on the other side, but yeah, I know you're one of my peeps who definitely got hit hard by this. We've talked about this a little bit in some of your other episodes, and it's real, right? Public speaking has been canceled, and that was a big part of your business and who you are.
Thanks, Corona.
Right. Thanks, Corona. Well, look what you're doing now. So, yes, you've moved into the new. Not everybody's been able to move to the new. And back to your point about what are leaders doing who might be spinning a little bit, who might feel like they can't trust anybody or they don't trust themselves to articulate something new because there's so much uncertainty. There are people out there we know whose businesses might not come back from this. It's a very, very real, not a laughing matter, like a very, very real thing. And I would say to all those people, first of all, don't isolate yourself, right? There has to be at least one person that you can trust. And if you cannot, then seek a coach or seek an advisor. There are a lot of people out there on the internet. You can find qualified coaches, therapists if you need one, that you can pay even for an hour of time to talk to someone objective to help you get like your head in the moment. You know, at this moment in time is all you can really control. We don't know what's going to happen. I think there's a lot of uncertainty that is going to continue. And for some businesses, that is going to mandate that the leader and their team sit down and think differently about how they move forward. And I don't think that that is unhealthy. I think that the unhealthy part is where we allow the spinning to continue too long and allow our maybe mistrust of ourselves or our inability to maybe have real conversations with people continue to be the current state. Like, this is an opportunity to move past that. So I would say to you, the other thing that I was thinking about, one of the things that you've learned to do well, specifically with your COO at LWL, because I've watched that bloom and come together, is, you know, having very real conversations, getting clear about what's what and how you're going to move forward. And like that team feeling comfortable to say no to you. And not all leaders have that. And I would say at this moment in time for a leader who doesn't have that, like if your team can't have a real conversation with you, if they're afraid, now is the time to fix that. Mm. Everything's on the table. Everything should be on the table right now for evaluation. How are we moving into the future? So if you can't invite your team to have those hard conversations right now, when can you? Mm. Right?
What a great opportunity. Mm. Great excuse.
Thanks, Corona.
Thanks, Corona. you know, I just want to, you know, give a quick word of encouragement out there to, this is not the end at all. This is just, I just feel in my heart to encourage anybody out there who's just, you're on the floor and you're like, man, I feel defeated. I feel discouraged. I feel depleted. Mm. Those words have come out of my own mouth where I'm like, wow. But encourage yourself with little steps. Looking back, look at what could have gone even worse.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually something I've never had to do in my life, because normally things are going well. And, you know, you take a punch, you take a punch here. Mm. It's almost like, for me personally, you know, my last 14 months, it's not about Corona. This was like just the last turn of a whole lap of punches for me in my life, and change, mm-hmm. and stretches and uncertainty. For me, it was like, wow, what could have gone even worse? Because I'm that reframer, right? Master reframer,
yes,
right? That's what you call me. Where it's like attitude of gratitude. That's how, you know, thankfulness and foundational pillars of even just life and feeling.
Mm-hmm.
But appreciation is something that I've always been taught.
Mm.
I'm so appreciative of what I have. Mm-hmm. I really, really am. I'm appreciative of everything we've ever been able to accomplish and enjoy, and my family. But I've never had to focus so intensely on what could have gone worse, because it felt so bad.
Hmm.
And that's something that no one's ever told me to do, intentional reframing. And quiet time, I think, has really been something of my focus as a leader. Having that meditation, having that spiritual element, that emotional element. My wife's like, why don't you just talk to someone?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, yeah, I'm talking to some people, but deep, deep down, it feels like this is such a deep, deep reset that I've needed just time for me, myself, and I to find myself almost again.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want you to know, you're going to find yourself again.
That's right.
Even if you had to close the doors on your small business or big business, you're not a failure.
Mm-hmm.
You don't feel defeated. My mom looked at me, and she's like, she's normally the one saying, she's the pessimist normally, all right? And she, the other day, is like, don't feel defeated. I'm like, okay. It's like one thing to know it, but how do you come to terms with that? And just looking back and being thankful, knowing that there's a new norm, and then learning how to trust yourself again and trust the process again, and not just beating yourself up.
Yeah, well, in creating the future, you make some really good points. And, you know, I would say to all the leaders out there that it's time, right? It's time. If you haven't done it yet, it is time to create your future. It is really time to take the reboot moment and pick yourself up and get help doing that if you need it. And for all of you who don't feel like you need it, your time will come. So don't get cocky. Humble yourself. We've all been humbled through this, by the way. I believe everyone has been touched by this situation in some way. And whether your business has been impacted or not, chances are your personal life has been impacted. And hopefully not with illness, but a lot of people have that too. You know, so I would just say, you know, all of us right now need to learn something new and do something new and learn to trust some people that maybe before you weren't sure about, or maybe they don't go with you into the future in your business. If right now you're realizing they can't help you move forward in a positive way, that's okay too. Say thank you and let them move on to a place where maybe they'll be happier, and you're going to bring the people who can be your business caregivers, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's awesome. You know, I wasn't going to go here, but I am going to, I'm going to go here. You know, off camera, and it's actually been said by Chris multiple times, everything's working out just perfect. Is that
everything is working out perfectly.
Everything is working out perfectly. And the first time that Chris told me that, my jaw was on the floor. Like, how could anybody have the audacity to say that everything is working out perfectly? Not exactly like that, but like, and she meant it and she means it. And I know what it means.
Mm-hmm.
But to hear it from somebody
mm-hmm.
into a physical ear, you know, for someone to be saying those words, mm-hmm. explain what you mm-hmm. are telling mm-hmm. all the leaders that you're speaking into right now mm-hmm. on that level.
Yeah, sure. I wish I brought my mug that says everything is working out perfectly.
Yeah, where is that?
I don't have it today.
It's all good.
Here's what I mean. You know, we don't get to where we are in any moment by accidents. Now, I realize there are accidents in the world, so I'm not talking about tragic situations.
Right.
Not talking about, you know, car accidents or heinous things that happen to people through crime, et cetera. I am talking about specifically in business.
Yep.
And in our relationships, there's something leading up to now. And so we are always getting the results of whatever seeds we've planted along the way. Mm. And so the easiest, cleanest way for you to reframe any situation is to sit in it for a moment and say, okay, wait, everything is working out perfectly. Even if it doesn't feel like it at the moment, I now have the opportunity to reflect, like you're saying, right? I need to reflect on what got me here, what got us here, some of which I probably could have controlled, some of the things maybe I couldn't control, but it happened. And so because it's all framed out exactly the way it was supposed to unfold, now I have the opportunity to know that what I do now matters, so that the next time I'm reflecting and thinking about it, I can know that I did something on purpose to shift it, to change it, to make it work. And there are many books and philosophies around this. I didn't make this up, but I find it to be true in leadership because, as you know, I coach people. Oftentimes, I have the honor and privilege of coaching leaders through many jobs or through the growth of as a leader, all the way up to sometimes C-level of big companies, or like with you, the growth of for-profit, nonprofit, new parts of business. And because I get to see that maturity and evolution, I know that that concept is true, that everything really is the way it should be. And if we learn to learn, then you can use that. And like I said, you can start to create a future so that you can get more of what you want. You can adjust when you're not getting what you want so that you can manage your team to get you what you want. And yeah.
I love it. Look, we all know that who we are today was because of what we've been through.
That's right.
Whether that's emotionally, spiritually, mentally, business-wise, mm-hmm. we know that. No one looks back and feels the yuck that they were once in 08, right? Mm-hmm. That economic crisis that everyone hit, right?
That was ugly.
And eventually, we'll be 8 years from now looking back at 2020, knowing that this was the year of change. Mm-hmm. This was the year of a room that was dark where you don't know which way is up or down, and just the whirlwinds around you of change where you couldn't even trust yourself for some of the decisions. But looking back, it's going to be one of those years where we won't see what opportunities did come from obstacles in your own mind, in your attitude of gratitude, maybe repositioning those goalposts for yourself personally, family, financially, being okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
I know mine have changed dramatically.
Yeah.
I'm still wanting to make a difference in the world. And
you are. You are making a difference in the world. It's just different than you did before.
It's just different than I did before. And so how does that look? It feels icky, yucky, but really these principles I think are awesome. So going back to summary here, in that last point, I went there because for me, I'm looking at this. People need to believe in a greater purpose of how this is evolving you to be whoever you need to be and what you're going to have in life. And then going back to the team building base, character, competence, and critique.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to also make sure that we give ourselves just some time to pause and know that the coolest thing about leadership is that when your character is good and you can be honest with yourself, that's step number one.
Yeah, for sure.
And knowing that sometimes you may have to make decisions that are difficult, but that doesn't change your character. I feel like maybe some leaders have been exposed to themselves of some character flaws that they may 100%. Have not discovered before or been aware of before.
That's what adversity does.
That's what adversity does.
Adversity brings out our shadow self. It brings out all the things about ourselves that we, you know, we put that pretty mask on and things are going good that we can ignore. We think we can ignore. We think people don't see. That's a whole other conversation. But yeah, adversity, it pulls us down, right?
Now,
how long you stay down, it's up to you.
Yep.
But it definitely shows us the parts of ourselves that sometimes we don't like.
Yep. And me being a married man, I'm going to tell everyone out there, if you're married and you have a spouse and this adversity has really given you some difficulties, it's almost like in business, it's like, well, since everything's on the table, right? You know what's going to happen when everything's going back. Okay, we're back. You know, our ego's back. Everything's back, you know.
We got to be careful of that.
Right? Sure. You got to be careful with that. You're slow and humble. Yes. I've been telling myself just those words out loud, just slow
really
and humble.
Advice.
As soon as the traction comes back, see, okay, great. We're going back. Mm-hmm. You know, we're gonna, ooh. But in this time, like you say, feel it, be there, live it. And don't also forget the other important verticals, because marriage to me, my business could be great.
Did you just say marriage was a vertical? I love that. I've never heard anybody say that before.
No, I mean, there's verticals in our life. There's the business, there's the personal, there's the spiritual. So I was just talking about like, yeah, that's how I speak. But having marriage as a vertical in your life, but a pillar and a foundation, the foundation, right? You have the foundation, and it feels like as if it's not just stripping to the studs. It's to me like there's a freaking, sorry, but nuclear bomb where there is no studs. And the concrete's there. I'm like, I'm thinking like, think of all the leaders. Hey, while you're there and you can get into the slab and fix a leak in the slab.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, I feel like there's, some of you is like, yeah, you're so distracted and just waiting for this to already be over. Don't forget that since you're stripped back so bad, also go to the biggest factor of family.
For sure.
Your fatherhood, your motherhood, your marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Because if that ain't good,
yeah,
everything else can be great.
For sure.
Just a little pointer on that. I just want to encourage people on that.
Look, that might be the best advice we've given them all day.
Love it.
Like,
love it.
Build back on a stronger foundation than you had before.
Double down.
Cheers.
You know, we've done some real estate in Dallas, and it's stupid how much the dirt around the slab contracts and expands with the humidity in the atmosphere. Mm. And you actually have to water around the slab in Dallas, you know, in Texas, which to me is ridiculous.
Right.
And I was thinking, well, why don't we just build a, you know, put it on marble, you know, it doesn't matter what happens around, or go double down, you know, on the foundation. Mm-hmm. I think this is the time to double down on all your foundation to build stronger, wider, bigger, and be more content. Anything else on being content or any of this foundational things, Chris, last note for anybody.
Yeah, I come back to where we started, right? Trusting yourself and others is part of that foundation. So as we rebuild, as we move forward, as you create the future, let's pay attention to these fundamentals. I love that we're talking about them.
Yeah, this
is
huge.
We're not the only people talking about them, but if we are, put us on repeat. I don't know. Share it with your friends. This might feel basic and simple to people, but executing it is really hard.
Really hard. Really hard. So that's the advice today, strategic advice from Nick and Chris from the Leadership Now series. Review, rate, share it with somebody, because, you know, you don't know if there is a person in your circle who's actually got wiped out in some way, shape, or form, who've now realized that the foundation that they thought was a foundation is not a foundation anymore, who put confidence in stuff, including their plan, their own intellect, that's being totally wiped away, and they need a friend like you to come alongside them, say, hey, let's rebuild that trust, and let's face the fact that maybe we built things up until now that maybe we need to change the foundation. Maybe we need to pivot. Maybe we need to stop and then pause and then communicate like never before and then move forward into the new future. Whatever it is, this is soul searching. It's also very intellectual, but it is soul and spirit searching. Mm-hmm. And going back to that, then building upon that. So we hope that you've been encouraged. I trust that you have been. So thanks for joining us here, talking about trust. Join us next time for another deep dive. And we are going to unpackage something else that we, again, might feel it might be a basic thing. You know, maybe you know someone out there who needs exactly these basic fundamental principles. Mm-hmm. Maybe they've just been wiped out in some way, shape, or form. Go alongside them, encourage them, plant that seed of hope that they can now understand that there are opportunities even in this obstacle to build a new future to higher levels and these fundamental principles that could really make all the difference for the next decade.
For sure.
Whether it's on a team building or CEO leadership or personal development. I'm just so excited to continue to do this Leadership Now series with you, Chris. Thank you so much for today. Hey guys, thank you so much for listening. Help us reach as many people as possible by giving us a rating, a review, and subscribing to this podcast. Love you so much. And remember, share this with anyone you know who needs to hear this as well. I'll see you next week.